Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Happy New Year to those I haven't seen, which is most of you. It's a bit sad, isn't it? The decks are down. Well, it should be by, is it today? Yeah. As I say, I like the lights. I like to see the bright lights. But as we come to worship this morning, it's Epiphany, and we're thinking about the visitation of the Magi to Jesus. Some people in the Eastern Christian tradition call it the theophany, the manifestation of God. And as we come and celebrate, I was drawn back to the talk I did on Christmas morning with the sweets. Have you all eaten your sweets? Why not? Just picking. Oh, okay. I thought you might have, Steve. You ate yours in, someone else ate theirs in church, yeah. But when we were talking about the nativity story, as we were doing it through the sweets, with the starburst, that was you, wasn't it, starburst? We thought about how God sent a star to shine over the place where Jesus was born so that the people would know where to find him. And it reminded us that God asks us to shine in our homes and our communities so people will find him today. So I've come dressed as a star because there's not much hope outside, is there really? So I thought I'd dress accordingly. But we've got lots to get through this morning. Anyone that's on Zoom, it is communion. So if you want to slip out and get yourself bread and juice to join with us, then please do. I'm hearing myself in stereo. But not only does God shine his light on us, he also calls us to shine like stars, to point others to him. So as we come to worship, O come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The Magi who studied the heavens follow a guiding star. O come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The people who live in the shadows see a glorious light. O come, let us worship the Lord and consider what wondrous things God has done. The Christ who embodies the word unveils the hidden plan, making us joint heirs of the promise of salvation through the gospel. O come, let us worship the Lord, for God has done wondrous things. Amen. So we'll join together and sing 1086, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness.
I am to say that you're my God. I wasn't even going to try that note.
Well done, you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, creator of heaven and earth, we join together this morning to praise you. You are eternal with no beginning or end. You made us and you are working your purposes out in our world and our lives. We praise you in this new year. We praise you that whatever the future holds, we know that it is held in your hands. We look back at this past year, we see that you have been with us, provided for us and led us in your ways. We praise you for Jesus Christ. We have celebrated at Christmas that you became one of us. As your Bible verse says, you pitched your tent in our neighborhood, that you live among us and showed us your great love and mercy, that you gave your life for ours, paying the price for all that we have done wrong. And in being raised to life again, have given us fresh beginnings and new life in you. We look forwards this new year, unable to see beyond the next bend or over the horizon. Yet we are prepared to follow you. Our times are in your hands. We confess our sins to you. We have done what we should not do and left undone what we should do. We have either thought too highly of ourselves or not cared enough for ourselves. We have thought too little of ourselves and allowed others and ourselves to be written off as worthless. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we know that you are faithful and just, and when we confess our sins, that you forgive us. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we give you thanks and bless your name. We thank you that you send your Spirit upon us to lead us into all truth and to empower us to live and witness to you. May we be filled afresh this new year to follow you more closely and to share your love with the world around us. Lord, as we look ahead, we do bring our prayers for the world, knowing that all are in your arms and you love the greatest and the weakest, the oldest and the youngest, the wisest and the most foolish. We pray for the world that this year may find the news not dominated by greed and fear and war and violence, but be full of hope and expectation, and that it may mark the end of the numerous conflicts around the world. Lord, we pray for all those who lead, that they may be filled with a duty to the poorest and the weakest among us. We pray for your church this coming year. We pray for ourselves here, Lord, that we would continue to follow your will and your plan and purposes. Lord, you call us to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, paths yet untrodden. Give us faith to go out with courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, you are with us at all times and in all places. Bless each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's join together as we think about the Magi this morning and sing We Three Kings, number 740. So this morning we're thinking about how the kings, the wise men, the magi, whatever you want to call them, were following the star to where Jesus was. And you're probably all expecting a reading from Matthew chapter 2, aren't you? Wrong. Because I said we're all going to shine like stars. So we're going to have a look at a reading from Philippians. And in Philippians, Paul discusses how to live the Christian life. In his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul highlights themes such as joy and glory, and he focuses on the importance of perspective. A Christian's life lived for Christ may be hard or easy, but all things can give God glory. As we come to chapter 2, it frames the concept of through humility that was shown by Jesus. His willingness to obey the Father, even being crucified, as the ultimate example of humble service. And so I'll ask Dot if she'll come and give us our reading.
Reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18, on page 1179. Lights in the world. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you should also be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.
As I said to Dot when I asked her to read, when you see it headed up, do everything without grumbling, everybody goes, oh, I don't want to read that. But in the English Standard Version, it is headed up, lights in the world. And I find that much more encouraging and encourages me to read that passage a lot more. Paul emphasizes believers as lights in a world of darkness. Contrast between light and darkness is a common spiritual theme. Light uncovers truth and provides comfort and safety. Darkness is dangerous, insecure, and it hides the truth. Paul notes God was the one working in them for his good pleasure. They were to do everything without complaining, to shine as lights in the world. And I love that bit, holding on to the word of life, so that Paul's work, and obviously now our work, would not be in vain. So before we think about that passage a bit more, I wanted to bring to you the presentation that Tony and I saw at conference last year. As you know, during our church meeting, we've been talking about raising funds for Hope for Children. And while we were at conference, Tony and I saw a presentation given by Ian Sykes, who is heading up it for the Wesleyan Reform Union. And he talked through the slides at length. I won't take as long as he did, but we'll just get the general idea. There's a lot of narrative in the book that's been provided. So if anybody wants a copy, we can get some photocopies done. During the presentation, the director of the project, Helen V. Pass, also speaks, but her words aren't able to be broadcast here, so I'm going to say what she said. She is a qualified teacher. She was one of the founding members of the charity, moving from Swinton near Mexborough after feeling a strong calling to serve there. And she saw a large number of children on the streets, and she knew that she had to act. So Hope for Children in Latvia and it's the Family Centre renovation project. It says that the objective of the project is to raise money to renovate their family centre in Riga in Latvia. The charity first began back in March 1994, nearly 30 years ago, as the original slide says, it's 31 years now. Their objective was to restore and bring hope to children and families in Latvia, which had fallen into crisis because of poverty, homelessness, sickness, and addiction. Hope for Children seeks to follow Christ's example of unconditional love and compassion in working with those most vulnerable to the effects of change and poverty. And initially, in the winter of 1993, they would just simply go and meet the children on the street and take them to various cafes for meals, and then subsequently going on to offer them warm clothing. The children lived in desperate conditions. They met children who were in prison, dreaming of a place where they could invite them, because obviously after the conflict, as they know, they were part of Russia, there was a shortage of accommodation in Riga. So next slide, thank you. So this is the family centre in Riga, the bottom two floors of the building on the right. They have over 200 families that attend during the year, where they receive physical help, support and advice. Initially, the children would come during the day as a day centre, returning to the streets at night to sleep wherever they could. But the centre eventually allowed them to stay overnight. It was safer for them to be in the building on the floor than in the streets of Riga, standing up, they said, in sometimes in buses, because that was the warmest place they could find to sleep. Now, I don't know if you've tried to sleep standing up. It's not the easiest thing to do. Over the years, various apartments have been acquired, and as I say, a brief history, more history is in the booklet. Next slide, thank you. So these are some of the current objectives. They have two children's day centres and one family centre in Riga. They do family work and foster work. The building was an old apartment when it was acquired by them 30 years ago. And as she says, it's showing the years of wear and tear. And the renovation list is long. So if you go to the next slide, thank you, Tonya. It's just giving us, the next few slides are giving us ideas of the conditions. But the project says that priority work, floor repairs and new lino in the corridor and first room, new emergency exit door and repair of steps and surrounding walls, replacement of central heating pipe, plastering and painting of a wall damaged by water leak, retiling of part of the bathroom floor and wall after repairs of a damaged pipe, repair of the ceiling in the food storage room caused by a water leak, new gas heater boiler or repair of the present one. And she says, as you can see, this list is long and those are just the priorities. Okay. So that's just bringing to your attention some of the things that we want to raise the money for. And she's already saying thank you in anticipation of our support. As I said at the last church meeting, the denomination, Wesleyan Reform Union, has already sent a sizable donation to the charity. And our hope is over the next 2 years to keep sending the money so they can get the work done. If you just jump forward to the two ladies, that's Helen herself. And that's Helen and Angela. That's not how it's spelt, but that's how she says it. And the lady that she sat with was a former long-term alcoholic, but now a strong Christian for at least, she say, the last 15 years. She leads the work of the Family Centre and offers a weekly Bible study to any parents who might be interested. She also builds relationships with families through home visits. And in the summer, she arranges 5-day activity week for the children. Next slide, please. And so these are some of the children and the families. And they say that they rejoice in having the privilege of relieving suffering establishing friendships and seeing God answer their prayers for their specific needs of the families. It gives them the greatest joy to see parents sending their children to Sunday school and themselves seeking and coming to know the unconditional love of God as seen in Jesus. And so if you want any more information, then Michelle very kindly sent out the Contact magazine yesterday. So there's another article on page 6 of that. Wednesday Fellowship are going to talk about it on the 15th. So you'll hear some more as I think about it. And we will be holding, as the diary says, a beetle drive followed by a meal on Saturday the 18th of January, 4 p.m. to raise funds. So please see the lovely Joe for your ticket. And if you can't come to that event, then just leave a donation. There will be some small offering boxes out. But their scripture memory verse from Proverbs 19, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So just giving you an overview of the charity. And if we're thinking about shining like stars in a community, then I believe that we can help and pray for their charity, Hope for Children. Thank you. And so before we hear God's word to us, we'll sing number 613. You can stay seated. Spirit of the Living Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we've just sung those words, may that be our prayer for this new year. You would fall afresh on each one of us, that we would see the world as you see it, and that we would seek to follow your will and purpose as we shine as lights in the world. Amen. As the Christmas lights come down and we enter those long dark nights of January, I find it difficult to shine, don't you? I feel I would like to hibernate until spring. Is that all right? See you in March. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated by the night sky. And these frosty nights, although we don't really like the frost a whole lot, we'd like the slush even less, mean that we can actually see more stars. We've been looking out and seeing all the different constellations and things, they're much clearer. And the moon's cycle. And according to what I checked, it's a waxing crescent, evidently. I've not proved that fact. But over Kent, they were saying you could see Venus above the crescent moon. I keep looking out now in expectation of being able to see it. Have you seen it? You could see it last night. I was asleep last night. Yeah, so I think it's amazing. And they're actually saying that later on this month the planets are going to align. Whether or not we see all of that in full glory, I don't know. But I just find it absolutely fascinating. And obviously, if we had less light pollution around here, we might have even more of a wow factor. In fact, I'm fascinated by light generally. I'm a bit of a pyromaniac as well, but I'm getting rid of that tendency. I was intrigued by the footage of the NASA Parker Solar Probe, which was launched, it said, in 2018 to make observations of the sun's outer corona. And if you remember, late December, we saw that it had actually got the closest to anything to the surface of the sun as it flew into the sun's outer atmosphere. The size and the scale and the beauty of the heavens never cease to amaze me. And I'm in awe of the power and creativity of our God who made our universe. As David reminds us in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the sky above proclaims its handiwork. And you can kind of see that, can't you, as we've just talked about some of the things that we can see. But do we go, oh, wow, that's great? Or do we go, thank you, God, and really shout our thanks and praise? Somebody said, the celestial dance of the planets, stars and galaxies is truly awe-inspiring and honours its creator. Paul's letter to the Philippians is his discussion on living the Christian life. In his letter, he highlights, as I said, the themes of joy and glory. He also puts that great emphasis on Christian thinking. Their attitude affects the way that they live out their faith. It is a letter written with love and affection to a Christian church that Paul himself had founded. The passage we heard earlier contains that amazing declaration that as Christians, we should shine among them like stars in the sky, or in the English Standard Version, shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. So I want to explore how we believers can indeed daily shine like stars in the midst of this crooked and twisted generation. If anyone's been listening to or reading the Church of England's reflection on Friday, it was Love's Pure Light, which was great because I was writing my sermon at the time. So if ever I needed a confirmation that I was on the right track. But it concludes, God is love and Jesus is the light of that love who has come into the world. As with John the Baptist and with Christmas lights, because that's what he was talking about earlier, it's now our calling to shine as we witness in love to the pure light of Jesus. And they set a challenge. Do you remember what it was? Yeah. Think about one thing you could do today to share God's love with someone you know. That's a biggie, isn't it? Think about one thing you could do today to share God's love with someone you know. Because we shine with our lives and with our lips. That's why it's headed up. Do things without grumbling or complaining. It's our calling. So how can we shine like stars? Now, obviously, a star is a huge glowing ball of hot gas. And most of us are not. I don't think Paul is calling us to the nuclear fusion that causes stars to shine. What Paul is saying, I believe, is that Christians should live distinctive lives, being the change that we want to see, so that people will notice a difference. Just as a shining star stands out in the darkness around it, believers should live lives that are distinctively different from the rest of society. By our words and deeds, we should be as unique and as attractive as stars are against the night sky. If you remember, Jesus told his disciples in Matthew's Gospel to be salt and light. Just as salt has a distinctive flavour, disciples of Jesus should be distinctive in society. Just as light stands out in the darkness, we are called to be beacons in our community. Paul describes that in his own words. He says that he wants them to become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. He wants the Philippians to live lives according to very different standards and values to the rest of society. And Jesus wants that for us too. It's very difficult, isn't it? Because we've kind of almost been unsensitized. We've been taken into the ways of the world sometimes without even realizing it. Paul's writing to his church, and we think he was imprisoned at the time, and he's encouraging them because they're trying to be believers, being Christians, in a community that is fighting against them. In the earlier part of his letter, I'd say just because we have it in chapters and verses, we have to remember that it was a letter. He encourages them to be loving, to abound in knowledge and wisdom, to be united with one another, to stand firm in face of persecution, to live their lives worthy of the gospel. At the start of chapter 2, he urges them to love one another, to be humble and to look to the interests of others before our own. And as I said today, we're to avoid complaining or arguing. So who made that their New Year's resolution? Who actually made any New Year's resolutions? No, I don't bother anymore. But the good news is that we don't do it alone. We hold firmly, as it says, to the word of life. We have the good news of the gospel to proclaim because of the word and his work of reconciliation. As believers, we are all called to shine like stars with our words as well as our actions. We are to be distinctive. May it be for God's glory that people are drawn to us as we shine for him. But God's word also warns us that living and speaking for Jesus will often be hard work. In verse 12, Paul urges them that the Christian life involves working out your salvation with fear and trembling. They cannot be content with what happened in the past and keep saying, well, when I was young, or we've always done it this way. But they need to demonstrate their faith daily as they nurture their relationship with God. And so do we. We will need to work hard to shine brightly for Christ. However, Paul is not saying we work for our salvation. Remember, our salvation is a gift of God, which we receive when we first put our faith in him. But we work out our salvation as we live for Jesus in the time that follows. We work out our salvation. We don't work for it. Paul wants us as believers to work and work out that full implication of being a disciple of Jesus. If we've come to Christ, we've already belonged to him. We are already saved. But in our daily life, we need to live out those full implications of following him. And so we shine as God works in us. Starting to see little flickers of light now. You're not all totally asleep yet. That's our calling. It's our responsibility and our privilege to live and to speak for Christ, holding on to and sharing his truth in our society. A life of humility and obedience is what God requires of us. And then we too can shine like stars as kingdom people. Paul gives us four reasons in this short passage. Firstly, as we look at verse 12, we should shine in obedience to God. Paul reminds the Philippians and ourselves that we have an obligation to always obey God and live his way. Just like the stars in the sky, we have been created by God and we belong to him. We too were given life to glorify God. When we obey him, we're doing what is right and fulfilling our God-given potential. And secondly, we want to shine in imitation of Christ. Our passage today comes right after another passage that reminds us of all that Jesus did to save us, including his death on the cross. If we are truly grateful to Christ for our salvation, we will want to imitate him. We want to be as humble and servant-hearted as Jesus was for us. We want to be like him and tell others about him. And next, we are able to shine in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 should be an enormous encouragement to us as we seek to serve Jesus. It reminds us that we're not on our own, but that God's Spirit is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good purpose. It assures us that as God brought us to faith in Jesus, then his Holy Spirit will be the fuel that helps us to keep shining like stars. We are never on our own. The awesome God who created the universe is at work in each one of us. And finally, we should shine to encourage one another as sisters and brothers in Christ. In the concluding verses of our passage today, Paul tells the Philippians that he rejoices at the sacrifice and service coming from their faith. And as we live for Christ today, we will encourage and inspire our Christian brothers and sisters. As I look at the stars in the night sky, I'm often inspired to praise God. How much more as we look at committed Christian brothers and sisters like those we saw earlier in Hope for Children, and within the body here, moving us to give thanks. So go in a minute. Shine. Shine as lights in the world. I hope that Paul's words in Philippians have encouraged us to shine for Christ as much as they have me. As I prepared this preach for the new year, in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, let's all try to shine for Jesus in our daily lives, living out for him and speaking of him in our homes and within our families, at work or in our daily encounters. And here in church, we can all shine more brightly for Jesus by working even harder to be welcoming, inviting, and by doing all that we can in our community that others would be drawn to Jesus. The stars above declare the glory of God with their brightness. May we all proclaim the glory of God with our lips and our lives. So as we are challenged, think about one thing you could do today to share God's love with someone you know, or perhaps charities like Hope for Children that are being brought to our attention. Amen. Let's pray. And the prayer from the Church of England, Lord Jesus, light from light, you have come among us. Help us who live by your light to shine as lights in your world. If you choose, you can be instruments of hope in the world. If you choose, you can counter the voices of anxiety and despair in the world. If you choose, you can fight against the fear that freezes the heart of many. So go, tell of the love that conquers fear, the love of a child in a manger. The choice is ours to make. How we live into the possibilities of Christmas, the beauty is that we do not live out the choice by our own strength. Go with God, who feeds our hopes and quietens our fears, always and everywhere. Amen. So as we prepare ourselves to gather around our Lord's table, let's sing number 987, Here is Love Vast as the Ocean. So not only does God shine his light on us, he also calls us to shine like a star, to point others to him. But we can only do this as we remember. I was reading something in the week that says that the word remember is in the Bible 250 times. I thought, that's worth remembering. We remember the gift of Jesus at Christmas. We remember his sacrifice. We remember the hope of the future that is promised. Hope is an essential element of our spirituality and is nurtured through our active participation here as we gather around our Lord's table. God's banquet is coming. The time we await when we will all gather from every corner of the world. A banquet where the rich and the powerful will sit with the broken and the poverty-stricken. A table where young and old will learn from each other. A time when we will all sit together in peace. Here at this table, we get a foretaste of God's banquet. This is indeed God's table, not the church's. And so all who seek to follow the way are welcome to eat and drink from it. Come and taste the grace eternal. Come and see that God is good. It's only at the foot of the cross where we see the sacrifice that Jesus made for us and begin to understand how thoroughly our lives are indebted to our Saviour. Let's pray. God of hope, whose Son Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the distress of the world and by your healing power, make whole both people and nations through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God in remembrance and in hope. Blessings be to you, Creator God, who in the beginning brought light and life to the world, and who continues to bring it love and light everlasting. Your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. Your ancient promise still brings us hope. You came to a young woman named Mary and laid out the promise in a new way, promising her a son who would be called Jesus, promising her that in her son the world would be changed. And now, as we have just celebrated his birth again, we look forward to the time when he will come again, forever. Hallelujah. And so as we think about what we've just celebrated, as we think now, as we look forward to Easter, as we remember that it is only as we look again at the cross and remember what Jesus has done for us, in the silence, we just confess our doubts, our fears, our worries, our sins. So we continue in prayer that we praise you, Lord, for cleansing us from all sin. Remembering your world, O God, loved by Christ and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, bring us into wholeness, bring us into love, bring us into peace. Amen. So as we remember the story, even now as we have celebrated his birth, we remember that the life the baby would live. We remember how he broke the bonds of human tradition to show us all what the banquet of hope could be as he ate openly with the despised and the outcasts of his world. And we remember one special meal, the foretaste of the banquet that is to come, that he ate with his closest friends, gathering them together in an upper room to share the story of freedom. He prepared them for freedom. And we read at the end of the meal that he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And then he passed it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is the body of life broken by the world. Eat in remembrance and in hope." After that, he took the cup and he blessed it and passed it to them, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant. Whenever you drink it, remember me, for I shall not eat or drink again until the time of the heavenly banquet." Remembering the birth of the child in the borrowed room, we remember also his life and his death and his resurrection. We remember how he poured his love out to all he met, and we look forward to his return and the coming reign of peace and love and justice. And so we pray. God, you poured your spirit on Mary and she sang words of defiance and hope. Pour out your spirit upon us gathered here. As we eat and drink, may we know your presence. As we eat and drink, may we be open to the possibilities of your hope and power. And may we be strengthened in our time of waiting for peace and justice, so that we will have the courage to make the Christmas promise a reality. Amen. And so as we come to the Lord's table to take communion, it reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice, pictured in the bread and the cup. As you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your own individual response. The bread that we break is the bread of life, and that life is the hope of the world. The body of Christ given for you. When you receive the cup, please retain it and we'll drink together as a sign of our place as the body of Christ. Christmas, we drink together the cup of the gospel, which is good news to all who receive him, the blood of Christ given for you. Amen. May our times at his table remind us to live every day in remembrance and gratitude of all that Jesus has done in us and for us. Let's pray. God of Christmas promise, God of childlike hope, we have eaten and drunk from your table. May the eating and the drinking fill us with hope in a world of fear and despair. May we become beacons of hope as we wait for the day when the world will finally be changed forever. In the meantime, grant that this taste of your banquet, which is to come, would give us the hunger for peace and justice in our community and around the world. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 428, Lord for the Years. pray. Let us look for Christ wherever we go. Let us never stop seeking, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Creator, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of the Christ child be with you this new year and forevermore. Amen.